The Money Show.
Personal finance.
So, Warren Ingram got a letter the other day from a listener, and I want to read the letter. It says, we've been talking about when to convert our rands offshore. The target was 17 to the dollar, 20.50 to the pound. Current exchange rates are appropriate for sending money into dollars. Lots of worry about investing in a dollar portfolio overseas. Why is it okay? What happens if the dollar collapses or the FANG shares drop? And what's how much of an offshore allocation do we need? And if you want money offshore, not in feeder funds, what do you consider? And how do you work this out? And he's a little bit unkind, I think, Warren Ingram, to some financial advisors. Present company accepted, I suppose, because wrote to you. Personal financial advisor and executive director at Galileo Capital, Warren Ingram. Lots of questions about investing offshore, because invariably you talk to anybody and say, oh, you've got to go offshore. It's like, oh, you've got to go to the shops and get some milk and bread. It's not as easy as that, though, is it?
No, it's definitely not. And I think it's top of mind for a lot of people, you know, who are fearful about the economic prospects of the country. And, you know, it's amazing how the, you know, are we the next Zim question, you know, went away for quite a few years, but it's certainly back again. And the other question, you know, that relates to this offshore is around the debt problem of the country, and you know, do we approach that fiscal cliff where we can't afford to fund our debt anymore? And certainly, listening to some of the fund managers, you know, that are doing results presentations at the moment, you know, they're saying we're probably looking at 2022, 2023. If things don't change, we'll be in a position where we can't afford our debt. So it becomes a real question now for investors. And I think, you know, we don't want to be fear mongering on the show, but certainly this offshore question is top of mind for some very good reasons.
Okay, but not all offshore investment is created equal. There are 1,000 ways probably to do it. How to do it?
I think the first point is to decide, you know, before you send the money out, how much of your investments need to be out of the, you know, to be invested overseas. I don't think as an investor, one should approach this opportunistically. In other words, just saying, oh, well, the rand's at a good level today, I'm going to send money out, and you know, and then in 2 years' time, the rand's, you know, at a very strong level, let's bring the money back. I think that's not a good call to make, because often exchange rates can move very quickly and actually hurt you. So I think when you make a decision like this, the first thing is to say, what proportion of your investments or your assets do you send out? And to me, that range for South Africans is somewhere between 25% goes overseas if you're living in South Africa, plan to spend your life here, and potentially you either don't have enough money to retire yet, you know, you're building it up, or you're at a point where you're close to retirement and you know you've got just enough. If that sort of describes you, then I think about 25% of your money should go overseas. But you know, if you've got a bit more, and you potentially might leave some behind to your kids or even grandchildren, then that number should go up to around, you know, somewhere between 50 to 75% of your assets should go overseas. So I think that's an important point first before you make the overseas decision. And then the second decision is, when do you convert your rands to a foreign exchange? And I think that's where, you know, you've got to be quite disciplined and choose a level for the rand dollar. And I think that's my main recommendation. I'll explain why now. But you know, if you're going to convert rands overseas, I think rand dollar is the way to go. And then choose a level and be quite disciplined. And you know, I think we've been saying on the show for quite a few months now, I think, you know, somewhere around 17 rand to the dollar is a good level. So in other words, if the rand's trading at 16.70 or whatever it is right now to the dollar, that means it's a good time to be converting your rands to dollars. If it's trading at 17 rand 90, you know, which could happen in hours, forget about days, then it would be a bad level, and you should rather you know, use some patience and exercise restraint. So I think those are the first two decisions to make, is how much to send out, and then secondly, when, and that exchange rate is really important there. I get a lot of questions from people about, you know, they're really worried about the dollar, and you know, Trump might ruin the U.S. economy, or if Biden comes in, you know, he messes up the tax system there, and you know, the economy collapses for a different reason, or what happens if the Facebook and, you know, Amazon, or I should say, Alphabet shares go down, and the whole market collapses, is it a good idea to be in dollars? And to me, that's an important point. But I think it's important rather to be globally diversified when you make an investment decision. So, surprise, surprise, I'll tell most people, if you can invest overseas, buy a world index. Don't be too too specific in your investments. In other words, I see these companies selling these fourth industrial revolution exchange traded funds or China index or something like that. And to me, that's quite a good recipe for taking a high risk investment with potentially low returns, especially buying a fourth industrial revolution type investment now. Tech companies are so expensive. It doesn't mean you should avoid them; it just means you shouldn't put all your money into them now. So I think buy a global index, and if the dollar falls, part of your global index will be invested in pounds and in euros and in Japanese yen and in China and the like. And so actually those parts will be doing really well. So actually don't worry too much about a falling dollar, because that will actually help the value of your investments grow. So I think that those are the kind of the key principles to start. And then how to do it, I love this listener's question, because the bottom line was, I don't trust any advisors, only you, Bruce. So I'm going to tell you, Bruce, and then you can relay the message.
The poor soul.
My comment there will be, I think two ways. One, it's quite easy nowadays to open up an offshore stockbroking account. Actually, a lot of the South African stockbrokers and banks, actually help with that and have, branches sitting in the Channel Islands or somewhere sensible. And if you open up, an offshore stockbroking account, you can literally buy that world index yourself. Probably the best brand that's well managed and very low cost is one called iShares. That's a bit like Satrix or CoreShares in South Africa. It's just the depending on the day, the largest or the second largest index manager in the world. And they've got one, they've got the iShares MSCI World Index, and it could be literally as simple as that,
Okay. Let's say, for example, in La La Land, because not everybody has got 10,000 Rand a month, but let's say, for example, we have 10,000 Rand. If you've got a million Rand to invest, you can get some fairly decent advice and you can go and get some help setting all of the stuff up. Say, for example, I set up this iShares account and I've got 10,000 Rand a month to invest. The moment I go to my bank and I say, hello, could I have some dollars, please, and could you pop it into my iShares account? 10,000 Rand doesn't go very far, and certainly by the time it gets into my iShares account, a whole bunch has been swallowed up by fees and other costs. So how do we do this efficiently and effectively so that we don't screw ourselves over before we even get started?
I think that's a really important point. I think if you're investing in lump sums, as you said, it's you can negotiate good rates and get good rates from the banks or the foreign exchange dealers. If you're going to do a monthly amount, my suggestion is actually to start. You can buy what's called feeder funds. So that doesn't mean they feed on all your money and take it away. That means that they take your monthly debit order, and although you're investing in rands, they actually invest 100% of that money into a global market. And again, there are unit trusts that are global index tracking unit trusts in South Africa. Satrix have got them. Quite a few of these managers have. So you can run a debit order into, let's say that world index feeder fund, and if you're doing your 10,000 Rand a month, what happens then is at least you're buying your global markets every month, and you're hedging your Rand exposure as you go. And then once you've built up a lump sum, and to me, it's somewhere around about 200 or 250,000 Rand, then you can sell out of that feeder fund and actually convert that money into dollars, send it overseas, and then buy the dollar-denominated exchange-traded fund overseas. I think that's probably one way. The other way is, don't be afraid to shop around. We've spoken about easy equities before, and they make it quite easy to buy global shares, especially in the U.S., with small amounts of money, and they help you do that exchange, that foreign exchange, at a reasonable cost. So I think that those are probably my two low-cost solutions for the advisor hater.
Oh, And what about people who think that they must have their money out of the country? They must convert from rand into dollars, because you've said they should, and they must take their $10 a month or their $100 a month, and they must take it and put it offshore rather than buying through a local stockbroker or a local asset manager a global fund based in rands in South Africa. They want to get their money as far away from the clutches of a nasty future government, for example.
Well, I think there are lots of global stockbrokers. So the point here is that you could open up a global account. I think, and let's just say, my preferred places where your account should live, if that makes sense, is either in Switzerland or in the Channel Islands. So that's Guernsey, Jersey, Isle of Man, or Luxembourg, or the country of Ireland, because those are places that don't charge double taxes on people who aren't resident in those countries. So you know, the scary thing is a lot of South African banks, for example, they'll say, we'll make it really easy for you to open up a bank account in the UK, in mainland London, mainland England. Well, that's great, except that what they should also tell you is that if you die and you've got money sitting in England, you're subject to 40% estate duty. And the same if you bought your Berkshire Hathaway shares from, let's say, with an Ameritrade stockbroking account in New York, they also charge 40% estate duty to non-Americans. So I think just be careful there that you can easily do it. Open a global stockbroking account, no links to South Africa. You can convert your rands to dollars with a local foreign exchange dealer. Send the money out to that place and to that stockbroking account and buy your exchange traded funds, no problem. And I think it's really that simple. You don't need to open a bank account. I think a lot of people think that they first have to open a bank account overseas and then from there do the investments. That's an unnecessary expense that you don't need to incur. So I think that's the one way. And the other way is, if you don't want to open a stockbroking account and buy exchange traded funds yourself, I can't remember the number, but it's tens of thousands of global unit trusts that you can buy, and you can literally do it from South Africa, and open up an account overseas. Lots of really good unit trusts housed in Ireland and in Luxembourg, buy yourself a global balanced fund, and you can do that with smallish amounts of money, every 3 or 6 months if you want to be careful of the transaction costs.
I mean, here's my thing here, Warren. It is about getting some advice, because there are so many potential and easily avoided pitfalls along the way on this process, because there are so many things we don't know, so many things that we would never consider. I mean, this idea of having money on the UK or US mainland and getting charged 40% estate duty, for example, as a non-resident, smack bam. You never see that in the Twitter feeds of people who are encouraging you to do these sorts of things. So one's got to be really cautious.
Yeah, I think so. And I think what's amazing is if people just listen to the podcasts of our show that we do, we've probably covered almost every angle that you need to. So even if you really hate the advice and you don't trust advisors, my view is, then make sure you do your homework properly, because there is good information out there, but it's not going to be found on Twitter or any form of social media. You can do this on your own. Just make sure you do the homework. But my other comment is, spend a few thousand rand, buy an hour or two of an advisor's time to get the advice, and then go do it yourself. I think it will be money well spent. It's like getting a good marriage contract before you get married. It's good peace of mind, even if you never need to use that contract.
Right. You never want to. You never want to have to claim on insurance. You never want to claim on your health insurance. You certainly don't want to make a mess with money. Thank you, Warren Ingram, Personal Financial Advisor, Executive Director at Galileo Capital. Sage words of advice.